Good morning. So can you please look with me in Psalm 46, Psalm 46, verses 1 to 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its water roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let's pray. Lord, now open our eyes to behold wondrous things from your word. Please help me to speak what you want to speak to your people. I am just a vessel in your hand, Lord. Please feed your people, feed us with your truth. Thank you that this time is now yours and always yours. It is in the name of our Lord Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm just happy to be here this morning, to be a vessel in the hand of the Lord, to be one that is using to bring his truth to his people. So it's my joy. At the same time, trembling, because I know the word of God to be somebody who will carry that to his people is, it's not a small thing, it's a great thing. So I tremble. Pray for me. So, Psalm 46. Scholars do not agree as far as what was the thing that inspired that song. You know, there were speculations as far as what caused it. But one of the scholars that I really admired, he said that, you know, Psalm 46 was probably inspired by the deliverance of Jerusalem when the Assyrians attacked them in the time of Hezekiah. And I looked at it, and I looked at the whole thing, and I said, yeah, I think it makes sense. So you may agree, but it's just something to bear in mind that it's not, like, clear-cut. But I just take it from there, like, this might be the reason why this psalm was inspired. The accounts in 2 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19, they illustrate the trying time in the life of God's people. As you can see, the title of this message is How to Handle Our Trying Times, Our Difficult Times. Okay. I will do a quick rundown of this backdrop of the account. The people of Judah find themselves in a tight place as the Assyrians threaten their invasion at the time of the reign of King Hezekiah. Earlier, like in the sixth year of his reign, of Hezekiah's reign, as we read in the second Kings chapter 18, verse 9 to 10, the Assyrians had attacked Samaria and conquered Samaria, and they took them captives. Okay? So these are the neighbors of the people of Judah. So they took them away because they disobeyed the Lord. So 8 years after the Assyrians took away the people of Samaria, the Israelites, 8 years after that, the Assyrians now were emboldened to march down and threaten to attack Judah. So they all surrounded Jerusalem, not surrounded yet, but they were like saying, "We are coming for you, Jerusalem. You are the next." And they conveyed their threats to Hezekiah, who was the king of Judah at that time. And they conveyed that threat to say, "We are coming for you. Don't you even imagine that your God can save you from our hands?" So I'm going to read a little bit passage from that place. If you want to turn there, you can turn there with me, or I can just read it. I'm just going to read an excerpt from that chapter 19, from verses 1 to 7. "And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes. He covered himself with sackcloth," that's referring to the messages that were sent by the emissary of the king of Assyria. "He tore his clothes. He went to the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest. They all covered in sackcloth. He sent them to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, 'Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there's no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, who is a master of the king of Assyria, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has sent, has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left.' So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, 'Thus you shall say to your master, Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.'" That was the backdrop. Now let's look at our texts. In Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear. The first thing that jumped to me as I was reading this verse is how I saw immediately the linkage that is between verse 1 and verse 2. God is, therefore we. About a month ago, I was listening to one of the Bible teachers on YouTube, and then something he said caught my attention, and I was reminded about that as I was reading this passage. This is by Dr. Brian Chappell. He said, "The imperative is always based on the indicative, and the order is not reversed." He was speaking some theological terms. But what he's saying is that the commands of God, whenever God commands us, that's the imperative. Whatever he commands us to do, It's not just something that is like hanging in here, like just out of the blues. It's based on, is indicative. That is something about himself, our relationship with God. All right. So when God commands us, that means he's telling us that this command is coming out of my heart of love for you. So the indicative is all, the imperative is always based on the indicative. Some big words for me to learn. The key thing is that our relationship is the basis of everything that the Lord commands us. Here we say, the word says, do not fear, is because he's telling us something about himself before he says, do not fear. Make sense, right? It's telling us, do not fear. He just didn't say that, but he's saying, do not fear because of who I am to you. That's what caught my attention, and that was what is burning inside of my soul. When Brother Chuck said, can you come and teach? I said, yeah, I think I might teach. I might be able to teach that. So we're going to start looking at the scriptures that reveals to us something about what God said he is unto us. What he say he is unto us. The first thing that he say he is unto us, he say he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our help in the time of trouble. I'm sure Ezekiah had that in the back of his mind when he got the threat from that king. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my help in the time of trouble. So this verse proclaims that God is our refuge, our strength, our helper during our own troubles or trying times. So we look at, break each of them down. First, God is our refuge during our trying times. The word that is translated refuge in this verse, and also in verse 7 and verse 9, in the same passage of Psalm 46, particularly in verse 1, the word that is translated is, it means a shelter, a rock of refuge. It is not the same meaning in verse 7 and verse 9. In verse 7 and verse 9, it says it means a stronghold, a high tower, a fortress. Put together, when you see refuge in the Bible, God is just conveying to us the truth that God is a dependable refuge, a place that is safe, a hiding place for us, for his people, especially in very difficult times, hard times. When everything around us is like falling apart, say, I am your refuge. When we get a bad report from the doctor, he says, I am your refuge. When our relationships are not going well, he says, I am your refuge. When the economy is not doing well, he says, I am your refuge. When inflation is hurting us badly, we can say, God is our refuge. When the world, like we see now, is in tumult, it's like, what is happening in the world that we live in now? God is saying, I am your refuge. When there is an invasion, like as it was in the days of Ezekiah, there was an invasion, and we know we may have people, friends, relatives in Ukraine right now, right? They experience their own invasion. We have brethren there too. The people of God are there in Ukraine. They are own part of the body of Christ. We extend to them and pray for them that God is their refuge. Whatever the situation might be in our lives, we can always claim that truth of God that says, I am your refuge. I am your helper. I am your strength. That's what God is saying to us in whatever the situation might be. Is our hiding place. Second, God is also our strength, during trying times. He gives us strength to carry on. Ezekiah had an opportunity to panic. However, it shows to take on the strength of the Lord. It shows on to rely on the strength of the Lord to carry him through. We read in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, incidentally, was a prophet, the same prophet that was there in the time of Ezekiah. This is what we read in chapter 40, verse 31. It says that those who wait for the Lord, or those who trust in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That was the word of Isaiah, not directly to Ezekiah, but something for us also today. That when we trust in the Lord, when we wait on the Lord, he will renew our strength. His strength become our strength. So God is our strength. In all of those situations I have enumerated, he is our strength. Or whatever the situation might be in your life, God is your strength. I knew in my own personal life, when I was transitioning from Nigeria to come to America to stay, it was a very trying time for me as well. But I knew that I needed the strength of the Lord to go through all of the things that I went through, the transition, and it was tough for me. I didn't know anyone in America. I was just by myself. But the Lord was my strength. The Lord provided for me. He made sure that I was taken care of when I could not. It was my strength. I knew it in my own personal life. And I know you have times in your own life when you have looked at things around you, when situations around you are pressing hard on you, and you can say, "Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, strengthen me." The Lord is our strength. Third, God is our helper during trying times. The word troubles, that is in verse 1, describe people who are in tight places. Have you found yourself in some tight, very tight corners before? Like really tight. And you're unable to get out? That was what the people of Jerusalem were going through. They were in a tight corner. The Assyrians were breathing down on their neck and threatening them and sending words to discourage them. That was where they were. The Israelites, in their journey away from Egypt, Pharaoh and his mighty army was breathing down on their neck, chasing them, was right on their back. They were in a tight corner. And I'm sure all of you, including myself, we know situations in our life where we know, oh my gosh, things are really tight for me right now. It might be financially, it might be in terms of relationship, it might be at your work, wherever it might be, that things are really, really tight. When we're in a corner, just know that the Lord is your helper. If we trust what God is, what is said to us, it says we should not fear, no matter what the circumstances may be. That brings us to verse 2. It says, therefore we will not fear. Therefore we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And verse 3. Though its water roars and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, And then verse 6a, I want to combine verse 6a with that. Though the nations raged and kingdoms were moved, all right? All of these words here, yeah, they paint the image of unrest in nature and in nations around us. So we know that circumstances may change. Natural disaster, health challenges, global instabilities, they may loom on us. God's covenant with his people will never change. This is one thing that remains the same, that never changes. God's covenant with you. Everything is under his control. When the earth seems to be pulled away from under us, when we are facing our own trying times, we hold on to our God, his truth and his promises and his presence. They are our mainstay. The earth is going to be removed under us someday or the other. It's not if, it is when. We look at some parallel passages. We look at Isaiah 54. Can you turn, please, in Isaiah 54, verse 10 in your Bible with me? Isaiah 54, verse 10. A moment. Okay. So it says that, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall never depart from you. My covenant of peace, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. This is one Old Testament promise of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. This one is longer, but I want us to be there together. Romans chapter 8 from verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as this? Sorry, I'm reading from NLT. Let me go to the other version, NKJV. Okay, I'll read again. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that beautiful, the promise of God for us? It's a beautiful thing that he promised us, that nothing can separate us. Height or depth or angels or principalities or powers or distress, Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I rejoice whenever I find that I'm not alone in this world going through situations that are hard, that God is with me. I rejoice. We may not have all of the answers to life's issues. God does not promise us an answer to all of it, but he says, I am with you. Okay. Now, let's look at the second part of the psalm. Let's go back to Psalm 46. Now we look at the other resource that God has given us. In verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. What does the river remind you about? It reminded me about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, in verse 4, if we think about the church as typified by Jerusalem, then we can say the Holy Spirit is the one that lives inside the church. That's the Spirit of God living inside of us. He's the spiritual resource that we have that comforts us, that teaches us, that shows us the things of Christ, that comes alongside us, that helps us. There is another layer of help that God provides for us. In fact, the Holy Spirit is described as our helper. He's our helper. So verse 4 and verse 5 is talking about the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. We should rejoice and bless God that we have the Holy Spirit as a resource in our life to help us through our trying times. It didn't only talk about, you know, the river, but another thing that river might remind us about is what is always there that is refreshing for the believer in Christ. That's always there for us. You and I can agree to and say that, yeah, we know the grace of God is always there for us. His grace can also be typified, maybe the river typifies his grace as well. What does he tell us in the book of Corinthians? What does Paul say? He says, when he was, he had this thing, this thorn in the flesh, and he was praying to the Lord, Lord, please take it away. And the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The grace of God is always there to help us through those difficult situations. Now we go back, let's reflect back to the story. God has done great things for his people in that when Ezekiah had the news about the incoming invasion, what he did was he took the letter, he went to the house of the Lord. He knelt there and prayed to the Lord and cried out to the Lord. And the Lord delivered him. The Lord sent a message through Isaiah that you should not worry about that, about the invasion of the Assyrians. And the Lord set an ambush against the armies of the Assyrians. It caused confusion among them, and the angel of the Lord smote them, discomfited them, smote them, and they were scattered. It destroyed them. So we see that God did not leave his people without testimony of what he's done. I'm sure when the people from Jerusalem went the other day, went the next day to go check out on the enemies, what they found probably maybe inspired the what is in verse 6. in verse 8, I'm sorry. If look with me in verse 8 of Psalm 46. The Most High have said this. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. That's possible. It's possible they may have said that, or somebody may have, you know, reflected on that and say, wow, how did this happen? They didn't even fight. It was the Lord that fought for them. The same way, the troubles and the situations that we go through in life, they were not designed by God. It didn't allow us to, it doesn't allow us to fall into those situations or allow those situations to come upon us to destroy us. No. The Lord does not do that. Rather, it shields us from the destructive effect of those situations. It may not shield us away from the situation themselves, but it does not allow the situations in our life to destroy us. That's one of the big messages that's born in my heart. That whatever you're going through today, whatever the situation might be, it is not meant to destroy you. You are way too precious in the sight of the Lord. He bought you with the blood of his son. He cares so much about you that he will allow any situation to destroy you. No. Our God is a loving God. When we cannot understand what is happening, this is what we can do. We can trust his love. We can trust his grace. We can trust his wisdom. He will destroy the enemy on our behalf. Whatever that might be set out to destroy our testimony or to make us ineffective in the kingdom of God, that's what the enemy is about. But God will stand for us. He will defeat the enemy on our behalf. Situations may not change. Circumstances may not change the way we want it to change. But God wants to change us first. He will transform our lives by the things that we go through. So the takeaway from here is in verse 10. So what? As we leave the sanctuary and go to our week, so what? Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That's our so what before we leave today. If our world is rattled or rattling right now, if we're in any distress right now, the word of God says, be still. Be still, whereas Wisby says, it literally means, take your hands off. Relax. Whatever you might be going through, that's like, I got to do something right now. I got to say, relax. Let God be God. Let God be God in your life. Don't fret. Don't be agitated. But you say, yeah, bro, Isaac, how do we do that? We can learn from Ezekiah. Ezekiah took their threats that was written in a message sent to him. He took it. He went up to the house of the Lord, spread it before the Lord, and cried to the Lord. Well, we know there are experts around us. We know there are experts around us, nutritionists and lawyers and whatever, all around us. But brethren, I want to encourage us. Our first line of defense, our action first, should be to take our cases to our God. To take whatever it might be, to take it to our Lord first. You know what that does? It says we trust him. Not calling the doctor first, not calling somebody over there first. God uses doctors, he uses situations, he can use anyone to accomplish his purpose, to fulfill his will. But he wants us to call on him first in our lives. Ezekiel says, "Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from this, from the hand of this king, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Lord and you alone are God." The purpose of God in everything in our lives is so that he might prove to us and to everybody that he is God. Psalm 62, verse 7 and 8 says that trust in the Lord at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before God. God is a refuge for us. Find a place and a time to pour out your heart to the Lord. That's the charge that the Lord is putting on us, all of us. In Psalm 142, verse 5, we are urged to cry out. It says, "Cry out to the Lord. You are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living." Cry out to the Lord. There is a place in Isaiah that says, "Come, O my people, enter into your closet to be with me until the trouble is over." Right? And then the last thing he says, not just to say, he said, "Be still and know." So be still is to bring everything to the Lord. And know, that's the last chart. And know, that is, you have an experiential knowledge of God. Let God walk through the situation with you, and then you gain an understanding of who God is in your life. That's what occurs to me that I should, say. Prove God personally in your life. I'm sure Ezekiah, when he was, later on, in chapter 20, he was asking the Lord. He said, "You're going to die." And he said, and he pled with the Lord, "Can you give me some more days, some more years to my life?" He had proven God in his life. In God's will, he did grant him his request. But the point is that this guy has come to know the Lord personally. He's got some experience with the Lord. What is your experience with the Lord? How is your walk with the Lord? The Lord wants us to have a solid walk with him, and then he will show us what he's doing in our lives. Sometimes he doesn't show us all of it because he is God. He will show us how to live our life for him so that he can get glory. Because we see that when the people were defeated, when the Assyrians were defeated, the glory went back to the Lord. This is what he wants in our lives, that the glory might be returned back unto our God. So, brethren, whenever situations arise in your life that might cause you to be in distress, there might be trying times, whatever it might be, take the word of this psalm in verse 10 to heart. Be still and know that I am God. Know God personally. Walk with him. Let his spirit accomplish the work of patience and endurance and all of the things that he has for you in his life, in your life. I pray that the Lord will use his word to bless all of his people, including me. In Jesus' name, Let's pray. Lord, in my own way, I have declared your word and your counsel to us, to me as well. Give us the grace as we go forth to apply your truth into whatever situations in our life that is trying us at this time. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. Even when we pass through the fire, when we walk through the waters, they will not overwhelm us. We are not going to get consumed in the fire. Help us to see you experientially as Daniel saw the Son of God showed up in the fire. Help us to see you experientially in our difficult circumstances. May the Lord bless his people and cause his face to shine upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.